Welcome back to the Turley Frequency with host Kevin Turley. The phone lines are open, so call now at 888-928-0881. That's 888-928-0881. And share with us your thoughts and prayer intentions as we navigate this complicated world together. And now, your host of the Turley Frequency, Kevin Turley.
Yes, welcome back to Turley Frequency with me, your host, Kevin Turley, and welcoming you this Wednesday to the Divine Mercy Chaplet. This is the portion of the show where we come together as a little praying community and we pray for your intentions, whatever they are, and whatever you need, we will pray for them. And each day I'm accompanied in that by a prayer warrior, somebody who takes time out of their busy schedule, comes into the studio or down the line, and they pray with me. So let's find out today, who is our prayer warrior?
Kevin, in the studio with us are the Divine Mercy Sisters, Mary Trawick and Rose Gardner.
Hello, Kevin. Good morning.
Wow. Mary and Rose, welcome and good morning to both of you. How are you doing?
Well, good. I am. This is Rose. I'm doing quite well. Thank you.
Yes.
Mary, you okay?
Yes, I am doing well.
Yeah. It's good to have you both back today on this Wednesday here on Archangel Radio. We've got lots to pray for together. We've got a few texts that have come in already, and no doubt others will be texting. Listen, you've got the Divine Mercy Sisters on the job now, so there's no excuse. You know that.
Yeah.
whatever your needs are, get these two on. You'll be flying, as we say. So there's two ways you can contact the show. You can call us on 888-928-0881. Reed will take your call. He will take it in private. Doesn't have to come on air. You can take your request there and off air. He won't divulge who you are, no matter how much myself or the Divine Mercy Sisters torture him. He won't tell us who has put through the request. Or you can text me on 251-928-2111. And if you prefer to remain anonymous, just say so in the text. Happy to do so. But listen, this is an offer of prayer.
Yes.
What's the problem with that?
Nothing.
Rose and Mary, I think it's the best offer anybody's going to get today. What do you reckon?
I would say yes. I'd double down on that. Yes. Prayers are the best.
The best.
They are absolutely the best. Now, I'm hoping that both of you ladies have brought many, many intentions with you today.
Well, definitely. Mm-hmm. We're not going to come here empty-handed.
Well, that is great. That is great. So for anybody who's tuning in for the first time thinking, hey, what is all this? The Divine Mercy Chaplet. Well, let's find out. Rose and Mary, how would you describe it? How would you explain to somebody who's just listening, who's probably not a Catholic, doesn't quite understand what this is all about? Let's start with you, Rose. How would you sort of go ahead and describe that to somebody? How would you begin?
Well, I would just say, you know, that this is the way that we go through the heart of our divine Savior, straight to the God of all gifts, and we just say, please, Lord, because of all that your Son has suffered and died for us, that we would just like to open our hearts back to you as a family of faith.
So beautiful. That's a wonderful way of describing it. And Mary, whenever the person comes back and says, okay, I get that, but why do we need to do it this way? Why do we need to pray in this form? What would you say to them?
I think sometimes we forget that maybe we're not worthy, but Jesus made us worthy with his mercy, and it's just boundless. There's nothing that his mercy can't touch and forgive us. And through his divine mercy and his blood that he shed for us, the water and blood that gushed forth from his side, it's just the total giving of Jesus to us and giving us that hope. And he just makes everything okay.
He does. And that's what we ask him to do. We just ask him. We present our problems and our woes, our very human afflictions to him, and say, Lord, we can't carry this anymore, over to you. And what you've also just said there, Mary, is so scriptural. we often overlook. You see it, once you look for it, you can't not see it again. But the precious blood, which we talk about so much in this mystery, in these mysteries, is central to our faith. As St. Peter, the first pope, wrote in that first letter of St. Peter, he talks about us being bought with that blood. We've been redeemed through that blood.
Every drop.
Precious blood. Every single drop. And that's what we are invoking here. Not our merits, nothing that we've done or said or can do or can say. We are invoking that precious blood to cover us and all our woes.
Somewhere, and I don't recall where it was, but I read a lot. And I was reading, and the person who was writing, it was one of the saints, some of her memoirs, and I don't remember who. But she said that the blood that was shed was 28,430 drops. So when I pray for those 28,430 drops, and I would just take one fraction of any one of those drops poured over me. And those that I pray for.
Absolutely. Well, let's ask for the precious blood to cover us now as we pray together this divine mercy chaplet. So, ladies, if you pick up your beads, and we shall start in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell, and on the third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. Okay, who wants to go first?
I do. This is Rose. I would like to pray for openness to God's will in all of our lives, but especially in marriages. I feel like marriages need a lot of prayer. So I pray for healing and forgiveness so that love may grow in these marriages.
I think that's a beautiful prayer, Rose. If anybody's listening who is married or getting married or engaged, we're praying that your marriages will be holy, that you will find them a path of sanctification, a path of real holiness. And that includes the cross, I'm afraid. For anybody who's married knows that the only way you can become holy is through the cross. There is no quick route. And marriage is, well, we Catholics believe it to be holy matrimony, which means it is a path that God has designed to make us not happy, not wealthy, not like the stuff you see on the television. No.
No.
It's to make us holy. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that comes at a cost.
Yes.
So let's pray for that. And let's pray for you and Mary as well, for your own marriages.
Thank you.
And pray for everybody who's listening that we will understand that marriage is there to help us get to heaven. And you probably know the story of the Empress Karl, who became Blessed Karl of Austria. On his wedding day, he turned to Zita, his wife, and said, now it's up to us. We have to help each other get to heaven.
I love that. It's beautiful. Yes, isn't that beautiful? I wish every ceremony that was how you did that.
Yes, absolutely.
It would be lovely to remember what you're actually saying. Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Thank you, Rose, and thank you, Mary. Okay, for this second Ecclesia, we look to you, Mary. Who or what would you like us to pray for?
I am wanting to pray for Danita, one of my closest friends, who is dealing with stage 4 cancer. Also, Diane. Yes. We've prayed for Diane many times. She has lost her son, her last son, and dealing with stage 4 cancer. And I pray that they feel Jesus through all of this, that they can walk hand in hand with him and feel his love and his mercy. And for all of those that are dealing with cancer, it is to have some support from others and to bless the doctors that they can find the best route and for miracles.
Amen.
I'm glad you said that at the end there, Mary, because I'm afraid that's my default in these situations. I pray for miracles first.
Yes.
And I'm going to pray for Danita. What I'd like to ask you, Mary, and you, Rose, to join me to pray for Danita and Diane today. Yes. In a very special way. And let's pray for the blood of Jesus, the precious blood of Jesus, to wash away all this cancer from their bodies and to restore these women to full health so that they can become true living witnesses to God's mercy today.
Oh, yes. Amen.
Now, some people listening to this will think that's ridiculous and they'll laugh at it. Fine. That's fine. We're praying for a miracle.
Yes,
we believe God is powerful, more powerful than cancer, more powerful than any other illness that is out there. So we're praying for Danita and Diane today. And if you're listening to this, Danita and Diane, we really pray that God touches your lives this day and that somehow this cancer is sent back to where it came from.
Amen.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Thank you, Mary, and thank you, Rose. Okay, I'm just going to work through some of the texts we've had in. We've had a text from Sherry. Good morning to you, Sherry. I don't know whether this has come to Sherry and come to us, but anyway, good morning, Sherry, and I hope you're well, and we pray for you as well. The text has come in asking for prayers for Sugar, who is going to MD Anderson as part of her cancer treatment plan. So we remember Sugar as she heads off there. And also there's prayers asked for Dr. Jeff Zeman, who we've prayed for before, who has a bacteria in his spine. So, Dr. Jeff, if you're listening, we're praying for you very much at this time. Good morning to Catherine, Catherine in Daphne, Alabama. And Catherine is asking for the divine mercy to remember a friend's mother who is starting chemotherapy for breast cancer this week. And Catherine goes on to say they are devout Catholics in the Gulf Shore, Orange Beach area of Mobile Archdiocese. And she says, thank you. And blessings from the Archangel Radio supporter here in Daphne. No, thank you, Catherine, for allowing us to pray for your friend's mother. And Catherine, keep us posted. And I say this to everybody who texts the show. You know, it's not a one-off. We're happy to pray every single day in these difficult situations for people. Yes. Another text in from Jim. Good morning to you, Jim. And Jim's asking for prayers for Lisa and for her husband, Bill. Bill has just been diagnosed with bile duct cancer, and he says they are devastated. Lisa and Bill are absolutely devastated by this. Bill goes on to say that Lisa is one of my wife's close friends from Hutchinson HS, and they have remained close over the years. Jim, we are very, very happy to join with you and your wife to pray for Lisa and Bill at this time, and let's continue to pray for them, not just today, but for the weeks ahead. God is good, God is powerful, and God is almighty, and we lift Bill up at this time, his health and his body, to the divine mercy. Yes. He also goes on to say, also, I have to say, how delightful the Divine Mercy sisters are. He goes on to say, their closeness to our Lord is apparent. God bless you all.
Thank you. God bless you too.
A blessing. Yes.
Thank you, Bill. Or Jim, that is a wonderful, I totally and wholeheartedly agree. Rose and Mary are a wonderful addition to this show, the Divine Mercy Sisters. Ladies, I hope you don't mind me christening you the Divine Mercy Sisters.
Oh, we think it's so sweet.
That's what you have become in the ears of our listeners as well as me. So this is wonderful. Jim, we'll also pray for you and your wife at this time. I know you had some health issues and concerns and family bereavements in the recent times. So we lift all of that up as well. Yes. So I think that's a full third decade, ladies.
I believe so.
Okay. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Thank you very much, Mary and Rose, and thank you to everybody who texted the show. We really appreciate it. Okay, for this fourth decade, I'm going to divide it up, one half to Mary, one half to Rose, and we're going to go in reverse order. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to go to you first, Mary, and say, who or what would you like us to pray for in this fourth decade?
Well, right now I have a British invasion. my husband's family is British. We have some Manx and some Scousers, and they are traveling coming back from New Orleans. They're seeing the sights, and I'm praying for them, for strength in their, for the strength of their faith, and for safe travels, and that, I hope to get Michelle to come and pray the Divine Mercy with us one day while they're here. So that's my prayer for the Brits.
Well, that's wonderful. The British are coming, I think, is the cry, isn't it?
Here.
They are rampaging across Louisiana at this point.
And, they better look out.
Well, today, as you know, Mary is dedicated traditionally to St. Joseph, and he's a great man to place our travels and those that are traveling in the care of, just as he looked after the Blessed, the Holy Family, as they headed off to Egypt. So let's pray for all these travelers for, as you say, a safe and pleasant journey, and that their time in the United States will deepen their faith. They will really start to understand through your good example the deep and the beauty of the Catholic faith. So that's a wonderful intention to pray for. Yes. Okay, Rose, fourth decade, who or what would you like us to pray for?
Well, I also want to say that Mary really is a very good example for people to see.
So of course.
She lives Christ in her life every moment. I would like to pray again. I know I've done it before, but I don't know. It's just heavy on my heart. I just want to pray for those that are forgotten. There are so many that are just forgotten. The aged, the homeless, the imprisoned, those that are mentally ill, shut-ins, and those that have nobody left in their family. They're the only member left. So it's, you know, I just feel in my heart, I just want to think of those that are forgotten, that they will know they are remembered.
You know, Rose, that is so close to my heart, because that's why I wanted to do this show.
Really?
I wanted to do this show because I wanted to pray the Divine Mercy Chaplet on air, and I wanted to do it for all the people that you've just mentioned, all the people that are forgotten, the people who feel left behind, the people who are sick, the people who can't move. This is their radio show. This is the segment in particular that
and
is aimed at them. And if you're just listening to this show, Rose, Mary, and me, we're praying specifically for you every single day.
Absolutely.
Especially if you're just feel like you're left behind, like there's nobody else. Well, let me tell you, there is somebody else, and it's this show.
This show is
your show.
It is.
And there's always a light on here, and there's always a welcome on the mat, as they used to sing back in Ireland. So, that's a beautiful prayer, Rose, and we pray it very much for anybody who's listening. You know who you are out there.
I do want to also say, I read a lot, and I don't always remember who to quote, but someone that I read they said what they do, and I've started doing it, is when they go and light candles for masses, they'll light a single candle to have that one light burning for whoever God knows who needs it. And so they would just light the one candle for that forgotten person that they know someone out there is praying
for. Okay, I must start that. That's beautiful.
It wasn't my own idea, but isn't it beautiful?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay, well, let's lift all of this up in this fourth decade, as we say. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Thank you, Mary, and thank you, Rose. Okay, for this fifth and final decade, I will return to you both, ladies, in just a fraction. But before we do so, I'm going to turn to Reed, our trusty producer, and say, Reed, is there anybody or anything you would like us to pray for today?
Yes, Kevin. I would love to pray for anybody who is going to be starting school in the upcoming 2 weeks. I think that's when pretty much everybody in Alabama will be, or at least in our archdiocese, will be going back to school. Mm-hmm. And I know my little brother is going to Troy, and that's actually, it's about a 3 or 4 hour drive from here, probably about 3.5, and it's still in the Mobile Archdiocese, so he's still going to be in the same archdiocese.
Awesome.
And then my mom is a gifted teacher in Pensacola, so they're going to be going back to school, and I would love to pray for them as well as anybody who is starting their school year, teachers, principals, students, and like janitorial staff and bus drivers and things like that. And then I would also love to pray for the Archangel Radio Board. We're going to have one of the newest members of the board is going to be joining us in the next segment. And that's going to be great. And we're very thankful for all the people who, you know, dedicate their time to the actual getting the tires on the road part of Archangel Radio.
Yes.
Absolutely. No, that's a very good intentions. I love the way, ladies, that Reed's always praying for the little guy.
He is the school janitor.
Yes. The person who cleans the church. You know, Reed has a real heart for the little guy out there who really does the wonderful, heroic jobs that people just overlook. So that's a wonderful intention. And yes, we're going to remember your little brother and your wonderful mother. And we pray for all teachers and all students returning at this time.
Yes.
And of course, we will remember the Archangel Board. Absolutely. And if I may say, we'll also remember anybody who's bored listening to this show as well. If you're feeling bored, pick up your rosary beads and join us. You won't be bored. Okay. Now, before I come to you, ladies, just a little bit more. We've got to remember our good friend Harry Crocker, who was on the show just previously, and his dear sister Lisa, who's just been diagnosed with cancer. So we pray for her. Uh-huh. And we will also continue to pray for the Romano family, the injured Jennifer. At the moment, Jennifer, if you're listening to this, we're praying for a speedy return to mobility for you at this time, and that any jokes about Hopalong Cassidy will soon be a distant memory.
You have to have humor to heal.
Absolutely. And also, we continue to pray for a mother and son who have, who, shall we say, cross swords, I'm sure going to be made up in the best possible way by the 15th of August when Our Lady bangs heads together all across the globe. Okay, who wants to go first in this final endeavor? Let's go with you, Rose.
Thank you. Yes, I know my husband is listening. Hello, Rick. So I want to pray. He's fighting gout still, so I'd like to pray for healing of his foot. It's, you know, a mobility issue. One of our parishioners, Frances Cuellar, who fell and broke her knee. So I'm praying for recovery from her knee surgery, and also my next door neighbor, Julia, who's had tremendous chronic pain. I would like to pray for miracles on all of those.
Okay, that sounds great. And what about you, Mary? Final thoughts?
Yes, Karen Lambeth, she just came into the church within the last, I guess, well, it's probably been 10 years now. I worked with her. She's a retired teacher, and she actually worked at Christ the King for a while. She has cancer and is battling it. And right now, because of neuropathy, she is unable to drive. So that is anyone that cannot drive.
Yes.
It is very difficult to get anywhere.
Yes.
Yeah, so I'll pray for her.
Yes.
Impossible to get around in the United States without a vehicle.
It really, really is. And you hate to keep imposing on the same people to take you places. So it's very bad.
Okay. So. Let's lift all of these up in this final decade, as we say. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
for the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us, that in difficult moments we might not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. O my Jesus,
I trust in you.
O my Jesus,
I trust in you.
O my Jesus,
I trust in you.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Mary and Rose, thank you so much for coming in and brightening up all our days with your wonderful you, prayer.
Thank you for all the texts and calls also. Oh, keep goodness. Them coming.
We'll Absolutely. Continue keep to them pray. Coming. Yes. And keep you two coming as well. Come back again and see us soon.
Thanks. We were. Good to talk with thank you, you and pray with you.
And you. God bless you, God Rose bless you. And Mary, our Divine Mercy sisters. When we come back, we're speaking to one of the newest members of the Archangel Radio Board. Stay tuned to the 30 Frequency here on Archangel Radio. Welcome back to Charlie Frequency here, live and exclusive on Archangel Radio. Now, some of the unsung heroes of Archangel Radio are its board's members. These are the men and women who help steer this radio ship on a sure course and keep us headed to the true port, which is where we all want to end up eventually. And from time to time, there are new members who join the board here at Archangel. So I'm delighted to welcome to the Tory Frequency one of the newer members of the board. He is Mr. Jim Pochinski. Jim, welcome.
Welcome
to the Tory Frequency.
Yeah, thank you very much, Kevin. Kevin, I really appreciate being part of the Archangel Radio family. And, of course, being on the show is a great thrill for me on this Wednesday morning, closing out the last segment. So I thank you for being part of the lineup, by the way, whether it's discussing issues concerning humanity or manatees, our listeners are treated to sparkling and scintillating conversation any morning. So thank you for putting your immense talents at the service of the kingdom. Appreciate that.
No, it was great fun while it lasted. It really was. But Jim, for anybody who is listening, and we have many people who are donors, many people who pray for this station, many people who feel very much it's Archangel is their radio station. However, they probably may be a little bit vague as to what the board, who the board, how does it kind of work? So if you met somebody after church and they said, Jim, you're on the board of Archangel, what's all that about? What would you say?
Well, in every endeavor in life that we're dealing with the exchange of money and operating in the economy, you have to have managers and various disciplines that support the organization. So the board is members of the community who have expertise in finance and accounting and strategic planning and human resources, and they join to basically guide the apostolate in the business aspects of doing our Lord's work for the kingdom. So it is very important work to, and there's a lot of duties in handling the perfunctory aspects of running a business. And it's behind the scenes, but it's most critical that it functions and that we give our Lord the best of management and skills and the support that we possibly can.
Now, I mean, I think what you're saying is absolutely spot on, Jim, but I think it's probably, having worked in many creative endeavors, I think the unsung heroes are indeed the board members and such like, because they bring a level of expertise and guidance in terms of business, in terms of strategic thinking, which most creatives don't have, because most creatives are just trying to put on a show or do whatever they have to do. Do you know what I mean? They don't think about the bigger pictures. So you need both, right? You need the Marthas and the Marys in every endeavor. And I think the board members really are very much called to that vocation. I mean, is that something that you see it as, Jim, as a kind of vocational calling in a sense?
Indeed. I really consider it an apostolate, and part of the fulfillment of our baptismal call to spread the word of the kingdom. And the difference between an apostolate and philanthropy is that an apostolate seeks very specifically to bring souls to Christ. We want to spread the truth of the Catholic Church. And then as an apostolate, that guides everything that we do. And in philanthropy, it's very good and noble, for example, to establish food kitchens or to dig wells for folks in Africa or to set up clinics. These things are very needed and necessity for those people that we're serving, but it is not the same thing as, for example, Mother Teresa setting up the missionaries of charity specifically to spread the word of the kingdom, either directly to action or word or by preaching. So I think that's the distinction that between philanthropy and apostolate, is the apostolate is focused really on bringing souls to Christ and sharing the good news of the gospel.
When did you first become aware of Archangel Radio? I mean, were you a listener for a long time before you moved into this role?
No, I moved to Fairhope, Alabama in 2016, and immediately became a member of St. Lawrence Parish, and of course the studio is right across the street.
That's right.
And I met some of the fine folks who work here, and then became engaged just through social interaction, and then of course began listening. And before that, you know, with the exposure to EWTN and other Catholic radio stations, listening to Archangel Radio just fit right in with the lifestyle here, because I'm traveling up and down either in recreation or in work, and it's very easy to set the dial and then engage with the programming. And so just over the course of a few years, became to love the work and love the apostolate and feel really privileged to work with the fine professionals who run this apostolate for the church in the Diocese of Mobile.
Well, I'm sure they're equally thrilled to have you as part of the team. It's all one big family, really, isn't it, at the end of the day? Tell us a little bit about your professional work, Jim. What is your day job?
Well, I'm on the threshold of retirement after a 43-year career in business. I've been in the manufacturing and sales of building materials, with a 10-year hiatus from that career to work in the not-for-profit world. I actually was part of a religious organization that ran a system of 10 Catholic schools. And so I was a member of the board of directors of those schools. So that's where I learned the intricacies and got the experience in the not-for-profit world. But the rest of the 33-year career has been managing in roofing and building materials. And it's been a very, very rewarding career, meeting some tremendous people professionally, both in the aspects of the corporate world and the not-for-profit.
You remind me a bit, Jim, of St. Paul. You know, he was in the roofing business as well, don't you?
Yes, well, I believe he was a tent maker.
That's right.
That's right.
And then he would spend his time going out preaching the word. And there's an element with you, Jim, whereby you're in the roofing business, but you're also spreading the word and building up the communities of faith, the churches in this part of the Archdiocese of Alabama. That's wonderful. Now, am I right in thinking, Jim, that you also have another sideline?
Oh, indeed. I love baseball. Mm-hmm. And so I've written a book about the making the case that baseball is God's favorite game, Kevin.
Yes, I was fascinated. It's called The Doubleday Code, Baseball and the Mysteries of Catholicism. I came across you on EWTN and various other places waxing lyrical about what is essentially more of a mystery to me than the Trinity, which is baseball. I have to say, Jim, but for somebody like me who knows nothing really about baseball, well, just the rudimentaries. I know it's played with a long stick or whatever, yeah. But talk to me, how does it come about? Baseball and the Mysteries of the Catholicism. How does that work?
Well,
give me the beginner's guide.
I gave a talk many, many years ago comparing baseball to baptism. And how tremendous it is to put on a major league uniform and walk out on the big show and play with the very best in the game. And comparing that to baptism, which puts a major league uniform on us to play at the highest level of virtues. And from that talk, which the men seem to appreciate, I just added more and more aspects of the metaphor. To the point where now it is, I believe it's the easiest way to start a conversation about the Catholic Church. But I could say, Kevin, did you know that baseball is God's favorite game? And you would say, why? And I would say, well, if you sit at a major league stadium, you see the divine economy unfold right before you. Home plate is home. That's our heavenly home, our ultimate goal. First, second, and third represent faith, hope, and charity. Without the theological virtues, we can't get home. There is one outfield and three distinct positions. That's evocative of the Trinity, one God and three persons. There's nine innings in a baseball game. Well, why is there nine innings in a Major League Baseball game? Well, if you have a supernatural outlook, that is the length of time that the Blessed Mother and the apostles prayed before Pentecost.
Absolutely,
so that's
right.
The length of a novena. Why are there nine positions on a baseball team? There could have been seven. There could have been 10. Well, as divine providence would order it, that is the number of positions on God's team with the nine choirs of angels. And so I'll give you two more examples. The focus of ethical activity in the Old Testament is Mount Sinai, where Moses got the Ten Commandments. And in the New Testament is the Sermon on the Mount. Baseball has the elevated game, which is the mound, in which the pitcher goes out like the prophets of old and faces the enemies of the people of God and gets credit for the victory or the defeat by name. And then we have the instrument of defeat in the Old Testament, which is the cross, the tree in the Garden of Eden, and the instrument of victory in the New Testament, which is the cross on Calvary. And the Major League Baseball has the wooden bat, which is the instrument of defeat and the instrument of victory. But the most important aspect of the metaphor is that if you may have a billion-dollar stadium, 60,000 fans, uniforms, cameras, lights, umpires, television, everything ready to go for the game. But if you don't have the ball, that small white object, nothing happens. Everything revolves around the ball. Scoring runs, getting outs, moving batters, getting people home. And the ball is the essence, we should say. It's the source and summit of the game. It's the name of the game, baseball. Well, that little white object in the Catholic Church and the spiritual world is the Eucharist. It's the source and summit of the faith. If we don't have Christ, we don't have anything. So if there's one word to describe the Catholic Church, it's the Eucharist. And so those are the points that I try to make in the game. There's a whole list of aspects of baseball and the spiritual corollary in the back of the book. And so I think it's a fun way to be able to provoke people into thinking about the supernatural when they're engaging in the natural.
I think that's incredible, Jim. You've just opened my eyes. The scales have fallen from my eyes, as it says in the Acts of the Apostles. Honestly, everything you're saying there, I'm getting. It's like, yes, yes, I get it. And of course, the game is to take St. Paul's idea, which he was always referring to games and to, you know, competitions and garlands and all the rest of it. There's an element within this context, within this kind of paradigm, that you still got to go out and play the game. You still got to exercise, you know, courage. You've got to exercise your skill. You've got to exercise all those God-given talents, judgment, etc., prudence, when to run for a base, I guess, and when not to. There's all the Christian virtues, I guess, that then come into play once you're on the field, right?
Oh, that is precisely it. The devil is constantly trying to strike us out. And he's got seven pitches that are the seven capital sins. And, of course, he appeals to our pride, vanity, and sensuality, which is strike one, two, and three. And so it's a spiritual battle just as it is a battle on the field. And then you're fighting for your future, whether it's the perishable laurels of the Hall of Fame or All-Star or a successful career. It pales in comparison to the final death, judgment, heaven, and hell that will be recorded in our record book at the end of time. And so the metaphors are endless. But one particular point, particularly in the culture that we live in that's racked with moral relativism and so much confusion and murkiness and despair, and especially with some who may be disillusioned in the church, I'd like to offer this analogy. Aaron Judge was offered a $360 million contract last year, so he's essentially making $40 million a year for the New York Yankees. Mm-hmm. And with his fame and fortune and influence and all that comes in playing in one of the biggest media markets in the world, suppose that Aaron Judge says, you know something? My teammates, many of them are hypocrites. They really don't put forth their best effort at times. They're not on board with the team and the strategy. And the manager is somewhat inconsistent, and I don't like his techniques. I don't like his mannerisms, and I don't like some of his activities in his personal life. And then management, that's another story, totally disillusioned with management. So I'm going to go up the road and play in Wilkes-Barre Scranton in the AAA League and leave behind the wealth and the influence and the money and the future that could be his in the Hall of Fame. That wouldn't make any sense at all. It really wouldn't. Well, the spiritual corollary is that the Catholic Church is the single source of truth and beauty and goodness on the planet. It is the church that it gives us Christ himself. To leave the church for human respect and other concerns doesn't make any sense at all in the context of eternity. We cannot focus on the human. We have to focus on the divine side of the church. And nobody would ever want to leave the major leaguers and go to the minor leagues. And that's true. Invite anyone who is disillusioned at the situation in the church is to stay with the major league. The depth and the majesty and the beauty and the continuity of the church never changes. The same thing with the depth and the majesty and the beauty of the competition in Major League Baseball. It's truly a beautiful thing to behold when it's understood. But you have to understand baseball to get anything out of it. You have to understand the ever-changing situations, the strategies, the signs and the signals. Otherwise, you'd sit there and can't appreciate the full beauty of splendor and blazing speeds that it offers. It's the same thing with the Catholic Church and even to some extent the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. To truly appreciate the Mass, you have to know why do we use bread and why do we use wine? Why do we have a separate consecration of bread and wine? Why does the priest take a little bit of the water and put it in the wine? And why at communion time does he break the host and put a piece of the host in the blood? And all these things are explained in the book. From
wonderful.
Taking from the aspect of what you need to do to understand baseball and then what you need to do to understand the Catholic Church. Both are remarkably beautiful. Both in the temporal and spiritual order, you'll find nothing that gives you greater joy and happiness. That's my position, and that's my opinion, Kevin.
Well, it's, well, wow, amazing, incredible. The other thing which is striking me, Jim, is this is a wonderful way to do apostolate with men in particular. I know there are lots of women like baseball, but men love team sports and men love to talk about things like baseball, right? So this is a wonderful sort of entry point where you can actually have a discussion about the faith, but through a medium which they get, right?
That's exactly right, Kevin. I could walk into a branch manager's office in a roofing supply store, and he'll have a picture of Nolan Ryan on the back office of the wall. And then I could launch into the baseball analogies between that and the Catholic Church. It never fails. It never fails. And it's a very innocuous and very serene way to introduce the elements of truth of the faith and to try to provoke a supernatural outlook in your listener.
That's right.
So you're absolutely right about that. I really appreciate that aspect of baseball.
Absolutely. Now, unfortunately, we're coming towards the end of our time together, Jim, and I know that you want to speak directly to all our donators out there.
You know, Kevin, things haven't changed much in 2,000 years. When our Lord roamed the earth and spreading the word of the gospel and doing his teaching, healing, and preaching ministry, he had so many benefactors help him. For example, he was born in a stranger's cave and buried in Joseph of Arimathea's grave. Our Lord didn't have a room for the Last Supper. Who was the benefactor that gave our blessed Lord that room? And there's some kind soul that gave him the donkey that he rode on Palm Sunday. Our Lord had no donkey on his own. And then finally, what about that little lad who gave our Lord 5 loaves and 2 fish to perform that outstanding miracle of feeding the 5,000. He was a benefactor of our Lord. So it's the same today. Archangel Radio can't do its preaching and teaching and healing. It cannot offer the divine mercy at 9 o'clock here in the morning in Alabama, which, by the way, Kevin, where you are is 3 o'clock. So we get the benefit of having the 3 o'clock hour
That's right.
with you in London. And we have
Absolutely.
Also the Divine Mercy at 3 o'clock here, a double dose of grace, so to say. So I ask our listeners to consider being that benefactor to our Lord and helping us in our mission. And if you could make a donation with the kindness of your heart to support this mission, because the one thing that I love about Archangel Radio is they hit the ball straight. You'll find the fullness of truth, whether it's doctrinal matters or liturgical or moral dilemmas. They do really present in a great way the teachings of the Catholic Church. But the number is 251-928-2111. That's 251-928-2111. Or archangelradio.com, and support our Lord's mission just as those kind folks did 2,000 years ago. And I'm sure in the end of time and in the judgment, every good that you did to bring a soul to Christ, he's going to wrap his arms around you and thank you for that.
Thank you, Jim, for that. That's a wonderful rallying call for anybody out there who wants to aid and abet our mission here on the radio. Now, before you go, Jim, just tell people where they can pick up a copy of the Doubleday Code, Baseball, and the Mysteries of Catholicism. Where can they find it?
Well, it's available on Amazon with Target, or our Sunday Visitor is the publisher. You could go to any of those websites. Just punch in doubleday.code. Amazon or a number, Barnes & Noble, it's everywhere, Kevin, so it shouldn't be too hard if people want to enjoy the mysteries of Catholicism as well as explore some of the finer points of God's favorite sport.
It's wonderful. We'll have to have you back at some point, Jim, to explore more this once the baseball season finishes or starts. I've lost track where we're up to. It'd be great to have you back to talk about this. Thank you again on behalf of all the listeners and everybody who works here for all you do and will do for the mission of Archangel Radio.
Thank you for your kind words, Kevin. Appreciate the opportunity to be on. God bless everyone.
Thank you. That was Jim Pochinski, who is one of the newer members of the board here at Archangel Radio. We ask St. Michael the Archangel to pray for him and all our board members.
All right, Kevin, it's been another great day on the Turley Frequency. I was absolutely fascinated by what Mr. Crocker had to say in his previous interview.
Yeah, it was fun. It was very interesting. He's obviously a man with one of those minds that can go in any direction you want it to go.
Certainly. Well, what do we have coming up tomorrow?
Well, tomorrow we have our friend Harry Brunius from the Christian Science Monitor, and he'll be checking in with us, talking about some of the latest news trends that are hitting the airwaves.
Excellent. I'm excited.
Good. Well, listen, I hope you enjoyed listening to us today. It was the best we could do with our resources. But anyway, if you liked it, tune in again tomorrow. Same time, same frequency, same me. But in the meantime, may St. Joseph watch over you and all those you love. And until we meet again, may God bless you and keep you.